Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about International Day of Happiness and the Spring Equinox. Listen as we break down happiness into varying degrees of enjoyment and the element of timing. Not all happiness is equal, and during the spring equinox, day and night are equal. There is a difference in understanding happiness based on the laws of attraction and the law of opposites. What we are attracted to will determine our nature and our fate. There's a distinction between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience the benefits of eternal happiness. So Swami, once again, I went online to do some research about International Day of Happiness, and the General Assembly of the United Nations proclaimed March 20th as International Day of Happiness, recognizing the relevance of happiness and well-being as universal goals and aspirations in the lives of human beings around the world. And also speaking at a high-level meeting on happiness and well-being, defining a new economic paradigm, at the General Assembly, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon stated that the world, and this is in quotes, needs a new economic paradigm that recognizes the parity between the three pillars of sustainable development, social, economic and environmental well-being are indivisible. Together, they define gross global happiness. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting, so I wanted to get your take on what you think gross global happiness should be.
Well, one of the things that I'm really concerned with is an understanding of maybe the difference between a monetary-based economy and a resource-based economy. Because like they say, I mean, we need a new economic paradigm. And right now, money being the barometer and things are being used to maintain and sustain this feeling of happiness, which is dissolved into insatiable cravings and really don't bring about what we would call true happiness. And so if we really could move into the understanding of a resource-based economy and really going back to the concept of putting God first, that God not being, you know, the cosmic puppeteer who is monitoring our conduct and rewarding and punishing our behavior, but God being the force right now that supports life, God being our number one need, the most important thing to sustain life on the planet. And when we have attention for that, and we have gratitude for it, and when we have an understanding of what it is, and we're using it to produce the feeling that we're happy, then things change for a human being dramatically. That you're actually making a shift in consciousness. And it's not just a behavioral thing, but it's really a change in your identity. We go from identifying with ourselves on a material level to identifying with ourselves on a spiritual level. We don't really have good leadership in, first of all, how to do that, and second of all, what that looks like when you're doing it.
Well, it is interesting, this meeting, this high-level meeting that I had quoted General Ban Ki-moon was actually held in Bhutan, which is spelled B-H-U-T-A-N, and that's a country that has recognized this supremacy of national happiness over national income since the early 1970s. And they have famously adopted the goal of gross national happiness over gross national product. So you have to wonder that maybe the consciousness levels of the people of that country really, really kind of have it going on.
Well, I would think so. I mean, I would imagine that that's probably more of like a Buddhist population or one of those Eastern religions that are much more spiritual than secular, getting away from the material mentality, period. Materialism is a difficult thing today because of the way that we're socialized. And we don't really have good leadership or understanding of the benefits of spiritual understanding today.
So do you think it would be improbable for the developed countries, say United States, to be able to adhere to something like gross national happiness?
Well, again, understanding that for most of us, happiness is a feeling. And you can't have a feeling without a thought. So there's this association between something that makes us happy and this feeling that we are happy. And the more that you understand that we have choices, that reality is multidimensional, that things are happening on different levels. And that's what we talked about in the opening, that there's a difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. Only it's not something that we have readily available to us. I mean, we don't have somebody giving us the breakdown on what it is that we're using to make us happy. We can fall into these patterns. We can fall into these traps. And the term in yoga is called avidya, ignorance. Because a lot of us today, we are totally relying on the testimony of our senses, material human thought, for our sense of self, for what we call real, which is really not a true sense of reality. That truth and real should be associated with what is invisible and intangible and spiritual, not something that's visible and tangible. And so if we identify with things that are visible and tangible, we will have the experience of worldly happiness. If we identify with things that are invisible but tangible, which are waves or thoughts, then we will experience intellectual happiness. But this is a happiness that is associated with duality, which is kind of a mix of good and evil. Duality is where you're dealing with two opposing forces. And to move into the realms of spirit, unity consciousness, the unified state, that your experience of happiness is no longer a mix of good and evil. It is purely good. It is pure happiness. And it's very different. Eternal happiness is very different than what we knew on a human level.
Well, in the summary of the show, we were going to break down happiness into the varying degrees of enjoyment. Can you tell us what that looks like?
Well, again, it's going to all come down to what it is that we desire. I like what it says in the Bible, something to the effect that where our treasure lies, our heart goes, or that's where our heart will be. And so on a very fundamental level, on a very base level, the human being is a primal organism. We move towards what we want. We move away from what we don't want. Everything is contingent upon what it is that we think is valuable, whatever it is that we think we want. And so by internalizing things, that we limit ourselves to worldly happiness. And if we use thoughts, images, any kind of mental means to sustain this feeling of happiness, positive thinking. You know, as popular as it might be, it's not optimal because we're using human thought, which again is a mix of good and evil. You can't have good without the complementary unmanifested other part. That's the dynamics of the laws of manifestation. That's how something comes into form. And so these are limiting concepts that we have accepted collectively because a lot of us don't really even have the understanding to challenge what it is that we believe in. And so it gets to be a little bit complicated. But once we can figure things out, because the difference between human thought and spiritual idea is that spiritual idea is backed by truth, which means that it has power. It is self-existent. Human belief really relies on human consciousness to maintain it. And even though for most of us, things that we believe in are not really desirable, we don't even understand how we are maintaining and sustaining them. Things like sickness and disease are beliefs that we collectively have accepted. And of course, by just going by the testimony of our senses, we verify it that it's real. But in fact, the testimony of our senses is a false sense of existence to begin with. And then to break away from that and to try and understand life or yourself spiritually requires some form of system. It requires a practice to initiate a process. It's not something that you're going to get in a lecture or a radio show or advice from your neighbor. That in order for us to really demonstrate this on a regular basis, we really have to change how we think. We have to understand ourselves. In Kriya Yoga, we break it down to a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. But in order to have all of these things in place, you really want to have a clear understanding of what it is that you're trying to do with these efforts that you're employing.
In my research for the show, I had gone to a couple of websites, and on one of them, I believe this was internationaldayofhappiness.org, and the theme that they have for this year is share happiness. And the focus being on the importance of relationships, kindness, and helping each other. But when I first read that, I thought share happiness. I wasn't sure if that is something that is even possible to do, as I'm thinking it's something that's more on an individual level.
Well, I think sharing happiness or the concept of sharing happiness is a good thing. And it's a whole lot better than sharing misery. Misery loves company. But I don't look at it as the end all or the be all. Like I said, if we had a better understanding of happiness and these different degrees of happiness and levels of understanding of ourselves, that we could actually start to change the world. Going back to that Chinese proverb, when there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. Beauty in the person, harmony in the home. Harmony in the home, honor in the nation. Honor in the nation, peace in the world. And so this whole thing of what does it look like when I have light in the soul?
Well, I think we're going to pause right here to listen to a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I understand we had an event this past Saturday on St. Patrick's Day. We had a new moon, and then also the spring equinox is coming up. So what does that have to do with our degrees, if any, of happiness?
Yeah, well, I think the new moon, which was 26 degrees Pisces, 53 minutes on Saturday. In the chart in Hampton was in the 11th house. And that was a great time to start to understand the truth. This is the truth that sets us free. By letting go of all the false and limiting beliefs we may be supporting, that veils us from the light of eternal life. So it's a lot of our human thinking that is preventing us from understanding ourselves spiritually. With the amount of information that's out there and the amount of thinking that we do on a human level, we're creating quite a veil from what was referred to as truth. And the truth that sets us free is the understanding that we are eternal spiritual beings, that we are made in the image and likeness of the divine. And we can't grasp that through corporeal senses. We can't grasp that through human thinking, that the only way that we can understand ourselves spiritually is through what was called realization, which is the spiritualization of thought, the understanding of divine law in human consciousness. Because the language of spirit is very different than the testimony of our senses. Because like we had said in the beginning here, we're dealing with something that is unified and whole, and our senses only work on contrast. So we really have to change how we think. And this new moon, I think, is a great time for us to start to maybe move in that direction. And then tomorrow we have the equinox, spring equinox, at 12:16 p.m. where the sun goes into Aries. And to complement that concept of a new beginning, Aries is great for starting anything. And that particular configuration in the chart in Hampton falls in the 10th house. And the moon during that time is going to be 8 degrees Taurus in the 11th house. And then we have Saturn, 8 degrees, and Mars, 1 degree, Capricorn in the 6th house. So now we're going to have a trine to the moon, and we're going to have a square to the sun from Saturn and Mars. So again, trying to figure out this whole concept of spiritual reality and understanding ourselves spiritually as opposed to humanly, or materially. And again, we're not just a body that has a mind and perchance a soul. But to understand yourself spiritually moves you out of a lot of the limits that we have created for ourselves by accepting these material beliefs, by assuming our identity is that we are a body that has a mind and perchance a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we do this, we are just strictly working with the changing conditions of personal thinking, of our personal mentality. And we're just seeing ourselves as separate entities. In order for us to transcend this and now have an identify ourselves with this concept of spirit, which is invisible, intangible, formless. It is eternal, and it is only capable of putting out life and light and goodness and love and peace and happiness. And that anything that doesn't reflect those characteristics or attributes is not backed by truth. And so to understand this truth that they talk about in the Bible that sets us free, it sets us free from the cycle of death and rebirth. It sets us free from all the suffering that we have accepted, that we believe in, and that we perpetuate because of our belief in it.
Now, I know when you're talking about truth, you're talking about truth with a capital T, and there are many different truths in the Bible. Can you expand upon that for our listeners? What exactly does truth mean?
Yeah, from my understanding, I don't think that there are many truths in the Bible. I think there's only one truth. I think there's only one God. There's only one spirit, per se, and that anything else really misses the mark. That this concept of sin and evil, good and evil, that the concept of good hits the mark. Anything that isn't good is, in archery terms, is evil. It misses the mark. And the term sin means missing the mark. So when you're trying to understand, well, what is truth? What is spirit? What is life? And you start to break it down, that you're going to start with things that are visible and tangible. You'll move into things that are invisible but tangible. And then you'll move into the realms that of reality that are invisible and intangible. And it is the invisible and the intangible that really contains the template for creation, for perfect creation. And that is truth. And that's what we talked about in other shows, that there's a difference between belief and faith. Because we can believe in anything. We can argue and defend our beliefs that could be material, they could be mental, but belief in truth and in this one truth is what produces what they called faith. And this is the faith of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So that is the faith that has the power to release spiritual power, which gives the human dominion over the earth.
Do you think if we all had that understanding of what truth is, do you think that actually brings about happiness?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you boil it down. Because if you really think about it, if happiness is the association between a symbol and a feeling, and most of us are looking for something to make us happy, and we're usually in constant search because the things that we're using to make ourselves happy, they don't have any kind of endurance. So if you are using material things, the minute you get what you think you want to make you happy, you're either going to become rapidly dissatisfied after you get it, or you're going to live in chronic anxiety for fear of losing it, none of which conditions are true happiness. But if you train yourself to look for what you really do need, and truth is your number one need, it is the life force. And if the availability of your life force becomes the symbol that you use to produce the feeling in your body that you're happy, look at what you just did for yourself. Right? Because we're never outside of the life force. If we were, we transition. The minute we do not have prana available to us, the physical body disappears. It dies. And that's where this whole concept of understanding yourself spiritually is so valuable. Because as a spirit, you are invulnerable to death. You're invulnerable to sickness or disease. Now, do you think that would make you happy? That you had no fear, right? Because what you have is you have awareness of divine love, the presence of pure love. And that's what casts out fear. And then the availability of what you essentially need, your number one need, which brings you to this resource-based economy, is now the symbol that you use for validation to produce the feeling that you're happy. And so on a very simplistic level, every time you take a breath, it will reinforce a feeling in your body that you're happy, that you're special, that you're good enough. And it's not dependent upon anything external. It is because you have an understanding of the presence of divine love. And that, backed by truth, has its own power.
So then I think what you're saying is that we don't have to move to Bhutan to become happy. We could actually do it here in the United States.
Absolutely, because the same spirit that is animating people in Bhutan is animating people right here, where in the United States, no matter where you are. And that, I think, is the beauty of rising into the understanding of ourselves as spirit. Because we move from the changing conditions of our personal mentality, which is basically just relying on the testimony of our senses, and then we move into the changeless state of being, spirit, that which is eternal, always was, always will be. That gives you such a foundation. And it employs nothing but goodness, happiness, peace, love. And that will become your nature. So it's not something that you're trying to do, but it will be something that you identify with. It will exude from you.
So I think this is probably a good place to stop and start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show or give us ideas for future shows. And if you go on that homepage and you scroll about 3/4 of the way down, you're going to see other Blog Talk Radio shows that are listed for your learning experiences, and they'll be listed under the Swami Says recent posts. So keep those comments and questions coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll have another great show for you. And be sure also to listen to our weekly Facebook Live episodes that we air every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So Swami, do you have any other comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to wish everybody success with keeping the light of eternal life in their field of awareness at all times, and to enjoy this equinox where we have this period of equal day and night balance of light and dark. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.